Well, good morning, everyone. Oh, man, it's great to be found in the house of the Lord. Amen. We could be anywhere else. Of course, the weather. Since I moved to Mililani, just this week, Pastor John probably knows, we didn't have electricity for over 12 hours. But after talking to Jeff, his daughter had no election for days, so I can just imagine. But, you know, I want to just share this, how can I put it this way that doesn't sound so police kind of, driving tips. Driving tips. You know, as a prior law enforcement, now I'm out there just as a, I see so much bad driving. And this is not a law, but this is like a rule. You know, when the intersections have no lights and you don't see a policeman standing in the middle, what are we supposed to do? Treat it like a four-way stop. Amen? So, of course, middle line had all intersections out. So as I'm going to, I'm like several cars back. I see like one car go, but then two other cars go right behind it. And I say, that's how accidents are caused. But anyway, just be careful out there. As you're coming down Pensacola, you know some huge potholes. When there's a lot of rain, drive careful because there's huge potholes sometimes we can't see. I can attest to that. Two times my tires blew because I hit potholes. Not because I was driving fast. It was nothing to do with that. But also, watch the roadway, because a lot of times the roads are filled with water. And if you're going kind of fast and you hit a huge puddle of water, your car can start hydroplaning. And I don't want no one to get into any accidents during this time, because this week was just one part of the rain. I'm sure there's going to be more rains coming to us. So just drive carefully as you're out there. And drive with patience. Drive with aloha. And don't be like that one, you remember that commercial where the person is behind the door, the driver, all of a sudden, he turns into this demon behind the wheel. Sometimes we kind of get like that, David. I'm speaking for myself too, so we don't get that. Just drive safely out there, amen? So this morning, I'm going to kind of continue a little bit of what Pastor John was talking about 2 weeks ago. And the title of my message is called Joyful Giving Leads to Abundant Living. And that's going to be my focus today. That's my big idea. That's what I want you to get from this message. If you don't get nothing else at all, just remember in God's word, joyful giving leads to abundant living. I'm going to kind of touch on that as I go through this message. But let me just give you a little historical setting of where I am going to present this message from. And it's during the mid-40s and 50s, and I'm not talking 1940s, 1950s. I'm talking the 40 and 50 AD. And it comes from the text of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And this is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. And you know that a lot of the New Testament books are letters that Apostle Paul wrote, but this is just one of them. And this is a letter that he wrote to encourage the Corinthian church, because what it was he was there writing this letter to fulfill a promise of a financial contribution that the church made a year ago prior to this letter. And you just got to understand what's going on. There is a extreme famine going on in Judea. So the Corinthian church says, you know what? We want to give to this famine. So that was about a year ago. So Paul is writing this letter to encourage the Corinthian church that he will encourage other churches from their giving. Amen? So may these two verses that I share with you today, and it's great to read the whole book. It's great to read the Bible, but anyway, may these two verses encourage you when it comes to giving to advance God's kingdom. Amen? Amen? Let me just open up with prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this word, Lord. Allow this word that you have placed on my heart to be able to present it clearly and simply so that we can understand what you're trying to tell us when it comes to our giving, Lord. Lord, we just thank you that you know the ears and the hearts of your people today. In Jesus' mighty name, and we all said, amen. Amen. So my two verses, I think Pastor John kind of ended his message with these verses, but it comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 and 8. And this is what it says. It says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let me just stop right there. God loves, let me highlight two of these words, compulsion. I have to look at the dictionary. I wanted to make sure, because I wasn't that good at school, so I had to look at what compulsion meant. It's like being under pressure, being like obligated. We feel obligated to have to give, or we have obligated to do something. That's what compulsion is. And reluctantly, listen to this meaning. I'm going to mention it again in the middle part of my message, but listen to this, what reluctantly is, because it made me remember of how I gave before. Reluctantly is an outward obedience, what people see. Okay, just think of that, not reluctantly, or where I'm coming from with giving. Reluctantly is outward obedience, what people see, and an inward resistance, what God sees. And I'm going to highlight, kind of touch on that in the middle part of my message, what actually I'm trying to mean by that. But just think of that, outward obedience, inward resistance. And it also goes on to say in verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Isn't that such a great scripture? I like when he uses the word all. Now, I'll touch on that later on too. But let me just highlight this main idea, this big idea that I have. Joyful giving leads to abundant living. And when we hear that word abundant, you know, for myself, when I hear abundant, I think of money, I think of being prosperous. But that has, you know, that's a little part to do with abundance, but that's not what the Bible is talking about. It's not really talking about wealth. What the abundance that God talks about is an abundance of an overflowing of joy, of peace, endurance through hardship. That's a good one, endurance through hardship, or allowing Christ to live through each and every one of us. And the Bible assures us that Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen? So that word abundantly, the world looks at it as wealth. But you try to look at the rich peoples in this world, the stars, the athletes, so many of them, they have hundreds of millions of dollars, but they don't have that abundant living, that joy, that peace. Money can't get there. What happens to a lot of them? They commit suicide. And then, if I had $100 million, I don't know if I would commit suicide, but these guys, money is not what gives them peace and joy. Amen? That's the world, but this abundant that I'm talking about, the joyful giving leads to abundant living, that abundancy is abundance to joy and peace, the abundance that God gives us. Amen? So let me just start off with this quick illustration. Imagine you have two people giving to a cause. One person gives because it's a good cause, but inwardly, he's fighting with himself. He's saying, man, I shouldn't have gave this much. I should have gave less. That's the inward speaking to him. The other person gives because he is truly happy and wants to help. So you see, this is the two people I'm talking about. Both gave the same amount, but which gift meant more, the first or the second person? Second person. Why? What was it that the second person, because they both gave the same amount. The first guy gave, he gave the stuff happily, looking like he was okay. But inside, you say, man, I shouldn't have gave the $10. I could have gave two. You know, stuff like that. So what is it? It's attitude. Attitude matters. And I remember a long time ago, I went to this elementary school in Palolo. And on top of the cafeteria, it said, attitude brings altitude. And from that on, I said, that's such a good spiritual lesson. Attitude brings altitude. That's what they're talking about right here. Attitude brings altitude. So the same is true with God when it comes to generosity. As you saw the first two people, God is not only looking at the gift, but he also is looking at the heart behind the person giving. That's the most important. Amen? So what that is, that's having the attitude of gratitude. Amen. I just love those. Those are such great rhymes. Attitude, altitude, because that attitude can either bring us up or it can tear us down, you know. And I know what it is to have a bad attitude because my wife is always telling me, oh, not now. This is a while back. Wow, you guys have such a bad attitude. You just bring negativity into the atmosphere. I said, oh, Lord, forgive me. But that's what attitude can do. It not only affects you, it affects the people around. I said, Lord, forgive me. But that's such a good thing. So you just remember that. Let me just unfold the very first thing when it comes to abundant living, as the two verses I gave, that would achieve that big idea I talked about joyful living leads to abundant living. The decision of the giving. Amen. I remember what Pastor John said. There was a decision that what was the title of his message 2 weeks ago, not just last week, 2 weeks ago. You got anybody remember it? Don't feel bad. He asked me one day, so what did I preach yesterday? I said, I forgot. It was a decision message. Tied or... Stacey had to look at it down. Amen. Tied on... We have a decision. You know, everything in life... That's one thing God has... That's one thing God has given us is free will. We have a decision to make. One thing we got... I'm getting a little bit off, but one thing we got to stop doing is blaming the enemy. Because we can't... I don't want to get off, but we can't keep on blaming because we are... our worst enemy. The person you see every morning when you're brushing your teeth, if you get mirror, that's you. Amen. But the first thing he's talking about, we have a decision when it comes to our giving. God values the decision to give, that it's got to come from our heart. It's got to come from our heart. Because he's more interested in the willingness of the giver than the material amount that we give. Amen. So just remember that. It's something. He desires a heart of giving to be an act of worship, an act of love and joy. That's what giving is all about. A similar circumstance to have a heart is, remember the story of Samuel in, I think it was Samuel chapter 60, I might be wrong, but somewhere around that area, where he was looking for a king to anoint. So he goes to the house of Jesse. He says, bring me your sons. You know, and he's not telling him what's good. Bring me your sons. So, of course, Jesse, the first one he's going to bring the one that, I believe he was like in the king's army. He was a soldier. He was a warrior. He was handsome. He was muscular. He was everything. He was the perfect example of a king. And what did God say? Rejected him. He keeps on going down the line. Yeah, I think he had like 10 sons going down the line. Everyone was rejected. And Samuel says, don't you have any more children, kids, or sons? And he goes, yes, I have one, but he's tending the sheep. And we know who that was. So he says, go and get him. And then when he comes, Samuel just sees the heart. And he says, this is the one. So he anoints David. The same thing. This is what he says. He says, Lord, does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Amen? He looks at our heart. So Jesus highlighted the same truth in the Gospel of Mark. And we are going to read like four verses. We've heard this story time and time again. And then when it talks about giving, you have to bring up the story. And this was found in Mark 12, verses 41 and 44 to 44. And this is the woman who gave all. Amen. And this is how it goes. And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Let me just stop right there. What in case one of our pastors was standing in the back watching you guys come in and see people not putting money in or people putting money in? You know, Pastor, so I would see me come by, oh, Pastor Darren, you never put money in the box. You better, you know. But so this is Jesus. Think about this. This is the sea. He's in the temple, wherever they are, and he's watching people put the money into the box. He says, many rich people put in large sums. But a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, and I just love that how Jesus calls his disciples to let them know of this example, because this is such a good example to give to his disciples so they can go on and pass on this type of giving. Amen? So he says, truly I say to you, this poor widow had put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Amen? So Jesus is praising this widow. I can just imagine how she's coming. She doesn't have much. It could be one of those not going to use that word, residency challenge person out there who comes in, puts in a penny in our box, but he put in with a heart of wanting to give. And that's the same kind of thing he's saying here. So he's praising this widow who gave just two small coins, her tiny, tiny offering compared to all these others who are dropping probably thousands of dollars in the box. But he says, but her heart was not worried about the poverty. She wasn't looking at her circumstances. She had her heart and her mind and her eyes focused on God. It wasn't about her circumstances, because she didn't have anything, but she gave it all. So that's why she was able to give all. This is the reason why she was able to give all, because she knew who her Jehovah Jireh, her Lord who provided, was. So we need to know our Jehovah Jireh, because he's going to provide. Amen? There's times that I speak for myself where I'm trying to give to donate to a cause, but I tell myself, oh, man, I don't want money to give to them. That's reluctantly. I could give a dollar. I could give $2. The amount doesn't matter. It's the heart. Amen? So giving begins first with a decision in our heart. But Paul doesn't stop there. He goes even deeper. And this is what he says. It's the importance of our giving is all about our attitude. And I kind of touched on that just a little while ago. He said, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Amen? So I touched a little bit on those two. Under compulsion, being under pressure, being unobligated, giving to God, if you want an abundant living, has nothing to do with pressure. Like, man, I got to give because I just saw the kind give. I got to also give, or whatever situation is. You cannot do it grudgingly. I remember you and Pastor John way back talked about similar things, about giving grudgingly. Why are you giving so much? I remember saying that to my wife a long time ago. Why you give this so much? I said, you shouldn't even give to the church. That's what I told her. But that's grudgingly. But see, that's the spirit that God's not talking about. That's not what God's, even though she threw it $1,000, it means nothing to God if it's done grudgingly, amen? Or reluctantly. And I want us, this is one for me, because you can always do good when you're giving money. But that's what people see. But people don't see your heart. Only God sees your heart. So that's one thing you cannot do, is you cannot fool God. Amen. You cannot fool God. You may think, oh, I'm giving cheerfully, but in your heart, there's reluctancy in there. There's a compulsion. There's grudgingly. So God loves a cheerful giver. Cheerful. And let me, the meaning of that word cheerful, it means joyful. It means eager. It means enthusiastic. God wants our giving to be an act of joy. Amen. And why is that? Try to think of why does God want our giving to be an act of joy? You don't have to say, but I just want you to think, because I know in your mind you're thinking of all these things, why God wants that to be joy. One thing, I'm just going to tell you, there's so many things, but I want to highlight on just one thing, because it transforms our heart. Amen. When we have a joyful giving, the heart follows that joy, and it transforms us. And I was just looking at some words that would help you to understand what a transformed heart looks like from what kind of heart I had before. So a transformed heart transforms a selfish heart. It transforms a heart that hoards. It transforms a heart of fearfulness that withholds. These are the things that a heart that is not of joy holds on to: fear, selfishness, hoarding. But a transformed heart gives us joy. Amen? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? So, another reason why God wants giving to be an act of joy, it reflects his character. It reflects God's character. Because why? God is the ultimate giver. Just think from the very beginning, he created heavens and earth. He created everything on the earth. There was plants, food, animals. He created earth. And then what he did, he brings man and woman into the garden. But prior to that, he's provided everything for them. So that's what God is the ultimate giver. And one of the most ultimate acts of why we give is because God gave his only begotten son. Amen. Oh, I mean, I just look, I'm not going to point out. Can you imagine giving your only begotten? When I say giving, that means putting to death your only son. I'm going to be honest, I wouldn't be able to do it. I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. I couldn't do it. But he gave his, and not just any son, a son of righteousness, a son who was sinless. He gave him for us. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he loved each and every, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Giving joyfully for us frees us from the bondage of materialism. Ooh, that's a word that really is a hard thing for us sometimes, materialism, because we get so caught up, and it's the world making all these things look like, I gotta have it. You know, I just was looking the other day, I was doing my message, all of a sudden these pictures come on a brand new car, or what else, some other things, like, man, I wish I could get that. But that's like the world trying to entice you in materialism. But God says that's bondage that keeps us. We give our giving joyfully, frees us from all of that. And what it does, it aligns us with his character. Amen. And that's what it's all about. And Acts 20:25 says, it is blessed to give, or it's better to give than to receive. Amen. So when we give joyfully, I just talked about it, it reflects God's heart. We take part in God's mission. And what is God's mission? The Great Commission. Matthew Matthew 28, I believe it is, where he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And we just came off a month of missions. We had Pastor Chris and other people talked about. Be a part of God's mission. Don't forget to turn in those pledge cards, amen? But we got to be able to take part in spreading God's gospel. So a joyful giving, we begin to be part of God's mission, advancing his kingdom, amen? And we experience a spiritual joy. You know, doesn't it? I think it's just the way God created us. Because he breathed in us, we have his character. Doesn't it make you feel good when you do good for somebody? 99% of the people, when you do good for yourself, you're going to feel good. Amen? And that's because that's in us. That's the DNA that we have. So let me just share this illustration. The Bible offers this great model of a heart of joy. And as I was talking earlier, the history of this letter that Paul's writing to, it was an encouragement for the other churches. Well, this is one of the other churches. And this is what he says, Apostle Paul is testifying. See how giving begins to become a testimony of how great this gift was? So this is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And this is just a chapter before my key text. And it says, we want you to know what God's grace has accomplished in the churches in Macedonia. So this is Paul writing this encouragement to the other churches to let them know they have been severely tested by the troubles they went through. That, again, picture where they are now. They're in extreme famine. I'm sure that the Roman, they had a lot of under heavy pressure, under all these stress, and under all the, because back then to be a Christian could be death, and that's what they're going through right now. But their joy, there's that word joy, was so great that they were extremely generous in their giving, even though they were extremely poor. Amen. You know, when you hear a story like that, but even after hearing something like that, there's many people that still wonder, when hearing a testimony like that, that if I generously give, will I have enough for me? And you know, a lot of times when the enemy's putting something on you to when you have to give, a lot of times it reflects back to you what you're doing, or maybe if I'm gonna give this much, I gotta give up getting coffee every day. I don't do coffee, but give up something. You know, you make an excuse to give up something. That's reluctantly, amen. But that's not what Paul was trying to get at. Amen. He was trying to let you know that to generous giving, to be abundant living, is another part of the scripture what he talked about. It was about the assurance of provision. You know, a lot of times we give, but there's a promise. And how many know that when God says, promises something, it's yea and amen. We got to just trust in him that the promise is yea and amen. We don't look at our circumstances, because circumstances will always trump the things of God, because God's provision, a lot of times we cannot see it. Maybe it's not even here. Maybe it's going to be down the road somewhere. But what we see right now, we see lack. We see all these things. But God says, God is able to make all grace abound to you. That's what the word says. So that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, what a great scripture, that you may abound in every good work. Amen. The first three words is something that we should just always stand on. But we forget sometimes. God is able. Amen. God is able. I don't care whatever, God is able. That word, God is able, it just lets us know about his omnipotence. It lets us know of his authority. It lets us know about he possesses limitless power. And sometimes we limit God's power, amen, by being reluctant, by being compulsive when it comes to our giving. We limit God's power. His resources are unlimited. He owns a cattle on 1,000 here. I mean, it's just, you know, where our heart is, there our treasures will be also. Amen. It is a promise that God is not restricted by our human limitations. Amen. Thank you, Stacy. God's promises are not restricted by our limitations, because we only can do so much. His power is not limited to our impossibilities. Amen. I'm getting chicken skin right. And no matter what our circumstances is, amen. So that's what God is for us when it comes to God is able. God is able. And then it says to make all grace abound. All grace. And we know what grace, we get so caught up with grace as an unmerited favor, what it is. But it's more than just that. That's just a small part. There's other things that grace is, we undeserved favor. We don't deserve the grace, but it also gives us spiritual strength. If you look at the Bible, grace talks about power. It talks about strength. That's what all grace. I can go on and on. All grace. It's limitless. All means all. All doesn't mean some or 99.9%. It's 100% guaranteed. Amen. And then it goes on to say, you know, why God blesses us? There's one reason why he blesses us. It's because so we can bless others. Just remember that. All the blessings that God pours on us, it's, you know, it's great, our families, but God wants us to bless others. It's just part of it. That's what God created us to do. You know, and if everyone did how God created us, we wouldn't need policemen. We wouldn't need all these first responders. This would be a perfect world. And Adam and Eve got to experience that perfect world for just a little while. Amen? But it's all grace, all sufficiency in all things. Amen? And why does he give us all of that? I like how he ends it. These things are all given to us is to do good. Or I think the scripture says to do good works. And when we use that word works, sometimes that word works, we think about, oh, okay, we're going to have to do things to get our salvation or whatnot. That's not the work. Works is just doing the things for God, doing the things of God. You know, it has nothing to do with earning our salvation. It has nothing to do with anything. It's having to do what God created us. God loves a cheerful giver. And that's what he is focusing for us to be focused on, to do good. He says, abound in every good work. And abound. Anyone know what the meaning for abound is? Amen. Thank you. It's just having your provisions met, abound in everything. Everything having your needs met. Abound is just everything met for you. That's the provision. Jehovah Jireh, God's our provider. Amen. He always provides for everything. Abound in all good. To abound in all good works. And as I was just saying those scriptures, you notice how many times all was mentioned? All grace, always, all sufficiency, all things, every good work. That was five times all is mentioned in those scriptures. This is assuring us that God's provision is complete and dependable. Amen. Remember that when it comes to what we are for our lives. God's provision. Now, provision is not only money now. Provision has a lot more to, it's just everything that we do, everything that we are, God provides. God provides a house over here. God provides our family. He provides clothes. Thank you, Stacy. All these things, everything we have, God provides. So it's letting us know that his provision is complete and dependable. Amen? Let me give you a short illustration. And this almost reminded me about this morning as Pastor Steve was in our Bible study at 8:30. That's another thing. If you guys could come a little bit earlier to church, we have Bible study at 8:30. We're going over Nehemiah right now. It's such a great book. But he was talking about the fountain gate. And this little illustration, I want us to think of what grace is. Grace is like a fountain instead of a cup. Just picture that. Grace, the kind of grace God is talking about. God doesn't just want to fill our cup once. He wants, and we used that word this morning, he wants to keep the fountain flowing. It's a continuous, and that's what all grace means, it's continuous. It never stops. It never stops. So if that never stops, neither should we. Amen? His fountain is flowing, so there is enough for us and for others. Amen? And that's what the overflowing is. Before I said, oh, Lord, fill my cup to overflowing. And a lot of times, I'm just focusing on myself. But it has little to do with self and everything to do with others. Amen? So what a promise. And that echoes what I just said recently. May God supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. And his riches is endless. It's even bigger than Fort Knox. Amen? There's more gold in heaven than there is in the whole world. 100 times over. Amen? So his blessings are just, God's blessing is not meant to stop with us. Amen. Don't let God's blessing stop with us. It is meant to flow through us. Through us. And you know, it brought back just recently, I think someone was trying to give me something and I didn't want to take it. I said, I'm sorry, I can't take this. And what does he tell me? You cannot stop my blessing. So I said, Lord, I got to get more humble and accept the blessings because I don't want to stop someone's blessing. So that's what God is telling us. It's not meant to stop with us. When we begin to give to others, it's because his blessings flows from us to others. Amen. Oh, that is so good. That is so amazing. And you become that fountain of blessing when it comes to your giving. Amen. Isn't it? Lord, make me a fountain when it comes to our giving. Can we just, you know what? Let's recite that. Let's repeat that. Lord, make me a fountain when it comes to giving. Amen. Pour it out. Amen. Let me share another illustration. This is a short illustration. And this, what I'm talking about, it was a verse right before my key verses. And think about the farmer planting seed. A farmer could keep every seed in the barn to protect it, but what does he do? There would never be a harvest if he kept the seeds. But what he has to do, he has to release it into the soil. And I thank God that we have on both of our doors back there that scripture. And I'm wearing my button for the funeral we had yesterday for Robert Helsham's wife. As I looked on, the exit doors at assembly had similar scriptures about the harvest is ready and ripe, but the laborers are few. Amen? So let us look at, it's not like a waste of time or whatnot when it comes to our seed planting. Amen? Because the Bible says some plant, some water, but the Lord is the one that brings the increase. Amen? So the scripture goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 9:6, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. So generosity works the same way. When we give, we're sowing seed. Amen. Into God's kingdom. And God uses those seeds to produce a harvest of blessings and a harvest that changes lives. Amen. And I want to share this challenge with you tonight. I mean, today. I'm going to leave you with this challenge. Remember that big idea I mentioned earlier? Joyful living, giving leads to abundant living. I want you to ask yourself these three things. Am I going to decide in my heart to give? That's the first challenge. Am I going to give with joy? And the third, am I going to trust God to provide an abundant living? When we live with open hands, God uses our generosity to transform lives. Amen. Let me just share this final illustration. It's the closed hand versus the open hand. I want us to look at your hand and close it tightly. And repeat after me. A closed hand can only hold what it has in it. But it cannot receive anything new. Amen? That's the closed hand. So now, as you look at your hand, open your hand fully and repeat after me. An open hand can give and it can receive. Amen. So that's the open hand and the closed hand theory that I want to share with you folks. Amen. And may all hands always be open. Because too many times I had a closed hand. And let me share this amazing truth that is found in the Old Testament. This is Moses. This is Moses just before the people are going into the promised land. And if you read in Deuteronomy, I think it starts from 13 all the way to the end, before Moses is letting the people know all these things, the blessings. He's just laying down all the law when it comes to the people before they go into the promise. Because we all know that Moses, because of his disobedience, could not enter the promised land. So he knew that, but he's letting the people know all these things before they go into the promised land. And this is what he's telling them in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 8 and 10. He says, "But you," and listen to these words, because this is everything what I was talking about today, this morning. "But you shall fully open your hands to him and generously lend him enough for his need in whatever he lacks. You shall generously give to him, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all your undertaking." There's those two-time words again, all your works and all your undertaking. And so you know, it's here at the Door of Faith, for the last years, we haven't been having a time that we take up an offering. We are trusting that God speaks to your heart when it comes to giving to God's church. And as you enter and exit the church, you're going to see two boxes on the wall and on top of the middle part of the wall of our offering boxes. That's how we trust God, that you are going to be that generous giver that God says he loves, a cheerful giver when it comes to giving. And remember now, giving is not always only money. Remember that. God doesn't need your money, but what giving also, giving of your time. I think time is one of the most important things. I tell my daughters, you don't have to buy your grandkids all these expensive things. Just give them your time, because we can never replace time. Money can always get replaced, but time, once time's passed, you can never go back. We don't have a time machine to go back, amen? So I just want to leave that one thing this morning. May we become people known not for what we keep, but for what we release into God's hand. Amen? And generosity is faith in action. You can put generosity into our motto. Obedient action with living faith in God knows no defeat. It's the same thing when it comes to generosity and giving. Faith in action, trusting God who holds our future. Amen. And remember, joyful giving leads to abundant living. Amen. And so before I end service, let me just end with prayer. And then I'm going to have Pastor John come up. Look. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this word that you had for your people today about generosity. Generosity is birthed in each and every one of us. But Lord, may we have a heart like David had, was a man after God's own heart. May our hearts be pliable to the things of you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. Continue, Lord, to bless us. Continue us to always have favor for us. And continue, Lord, to allow us to be that conduit when it comes to giving to others, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. And we all said, amen.